In the scriptures, when we look at David, something interesting comes out through his writings. Of course, we read very extensively about King David in the book of Samuel, first and second book of Samuel. We also have David's Psalms. And all these, the stories and the Psalms, give us David's heart. And it says about David, God says about David, a man after my own heart. Heart. So when we read David, heart is a very crucial thing about David and his writings. The heart. If you look at his Psalms, so many times it is used, the Lord is close to the broken heart. Lord, give me a broken and contrite heart. So if we read Psalms, we see this mention of heart from David. I like to share with you two particular places in the scripture where David uses this mention of heart. One is from Psalm 139. Psalm 139 is a psalm which talks about a God who knows everything. When I rise up, when I sit down, when I walk, if I hide, a God who is everywhere. And the psalm ends like this. Psalm ends like this. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my thoughts. See if there is any wickedness in my heart. See, David is praying, search me, God, and know my heart. Test me, and see if there is any wickedness in my heart. And we go to another psalm, which is the Psalm 51. And it is written, Psalm in 51, verse 6. O God, you desire truth in my heart, so put wisdom in my mind. Oh God, you desire truth in my heart, that you want me to live a sincere life, so put wisdom in my heart. Give me a broken heart. Why would David always talk about heart? Then we have to know an incident from David. In the second book of Samuel, chapter 11, we have the great sin of David. What is the sin he committed? One morning, when the whole army is going to war, David is on the terrace of his mansion. A king who is very lazy and idle. He was supposed to go to war. He did not. He was walking on the terrace. Then he saw this beautiful woman taking a shower. Of course, David got tempted. David called her in and had sinned with her. Now, the next thing happens, she fall pregnant. It's an affair, she fall pregnant. And David immediately tries to cover it up. And the way he covers it up, it's very funny. He calls Uriah, the husband of the person with whom, Bathsheba, with whom David committed sin. In order to cover up the sin he committed, David calls Uriah. And this is how the story goes. How wicked the heart of David. No, wicked or cunning. It says like this. David sent a word to Joab, and Joab is the army leader. Get me Uriah. Uriah, come. And David is trying to cover up his crime. When Uriah came, David says to Uriah, "Oh, Uriah, you have just come from a journey." Uriah said to David, "You should go down to your house and rest." Uriah said to David, "The ark of Israel and Judah remains in the booth. And my lord Joab and servants of my lord are camping in the open field. Shall I then go to my house and eat and drink and lie with my wife? So Uriah has got more passion than David. David is somehow trying to send Uriah back. But Uriah says, no, God, when my army is fighting, I should be with them. Now then, David is saying, then David said to Uriah, remain here today also, tomorrow, and I will send you back to the war. And then he says to Joab, when Uriah comes, make sure Uriah is in the front of the line in the war. And Joab made Uriah at the front of the war, and he got Uriah killed so that David can cover up his sin. See the cunningness of David. I encourage you to read 2 Samuel chapter 11. That must be the reason. In his Psalms, David always mentioned, God, give me a broken heart, a contrite heart. You remember the story when David was elected. God says to Samuel, go to the house of, I forgot David's father's name. Jesse. The house of Jesse. There's a scripture scholar here. House of Jesse. You go to house of Jesse and select one of the sons. He goes to all the sons who look very able. He comes to David and Samuel says, how can I elect this young shepherd boy? And God says to Samuel, I don't look at the physical appearance, but I look at the heart. See, the one good thing David always had is his contrite, broken heart. Even though he was sinned, he had a good heart. A heart that will melt when he is challenged. A heart that is ready to be open to receive correction. God always believed, this young man's heart I can work with, even though there is cunningness in his heart. Now that is what we come to when in the gospel we read. Jesus says, not that goes inside that maligns you, but what comes out of your heart that maligns you. And sadly, in our life, there are many intentions and motivations behind our actions, even negative motivations and intentions. In psychology, they call it, especially Carl Jung, he calls it shadows. If you have learned psychology, you may be familiar with this term. Shadows. Shadows are the negative things we trying to hide in our life. And for example, if you are growing up in a family where punctuality is very, very, very crucial, you kind of, you know, you have to be always on order, have to be punctual. There is no time for laugh or dancing or mucking around. It's always be on time. It's all about timing. If that is the case, you may be, to adapt to that culture of the family, you may be pushing certain other emotions into your psyche. When I came to MGL, I had a shadow problem. I didn't know it. The shadow problem, one of my problems was, there are many problems, one of them is the decent one I can share with you, is a civilized problem. Is I've been always a negative mentality. Like as soon as I hear a proposal or an idea, the way I take it is negatively. I can be quite pessimistic. That's it's not going to work. I can think about something or somebody proposed to me. The way I react is negatively. When I came to MGL, which is very happy, positive, clappy group, where every tragedy is, they take it positively. So I have to adapt to it. When I came to the MGL, what happened was, my mentality, I have to suppress this negative attitude so that I can act or I can put on a defense in front of the other brothers. Of course, it's a great idea. Wonderful. Wow.
instant, my real being wanted to say, this is going to be a disaster. Don't do it. What's the point of church? Go away. You know, see, in order to please the other brothers or become like that, I just have to really suppress that side of thing. And probably I took it from my family. When I really think back, I can see that kind of element in the relationships in our family. That we are very defensive family. Sometimes to the point, bit pessimistic. Now, only when I started to go through spiritual direction and ministry supervision, that is when my ministry supervisor picked it upon. Bonnie, there is something that you are trying to hide or trying to kind of suppress into your other side, which is your shadow. That's what he said. But Bonnie, once in you are in middle life crisis or you going getting old, you will sick of all these things and these things will come up. He said, if you're going to suppress it and trying to hide it, when you become so middle-aged and who cares what I'm going to do, anyway I'm going to die, your real color will come up. You know, sometimes when you are young and things, you are a young priest, you want to please everyone. You have to be good-looking and nice and behavior. You kind of somehow put on a mask and trying to hide all these things. But once you get old and grumpy and all this real color will come out. Now, it's like that. And we can pick up these kind of shadows from our childhood, some of our experience with our father, our mother, some of our painful experiences. That is why Jesus says the healing is actually accepting the cross. We don't know why we are born into certain families, certain particular characteristics, why we are not so confident like them. Sometimes we, most of the time, all our good qualities comes out of our weakness. Sometimes I think my loud speaking and preaching, it's because I always want attention. See, it could be like that. Sometimes, you know, I was a middle child living in a family where attention was given to my older brother, younger sister. In between, to get some attention, I really had to make some noise. Come on. It could be. But probably God must have used to my weakness, I mean, my strength as a loud out there person who wants attention of when I preach, people should engage. God must have used that particular to preach the gospel. But it could come out of a weakness. Now, as if I don't understand where it comes from, I can live like a blind guy. Sometimes this particular aspect pushes me into deep trouble too. So that is where we have to be very self-aware of what are the things happening in our heart. Why am I doing certain things the way I am doing? We really have to go deeper into our heart. That's why Jesus said, the things comes from outside will not make you unclean, but your heart can make you unclean. The intentions, the motivations of the heart. And that is why it's St. James reading, we read, the reading, second reading starts a beautiful reading. It says, do not try to campaign faith in Jesus, oh glorified Lord. 23rd, sorry. It is all good, everything is perfect, which is given us from above. It comes from the Father of all light. With him there is no alteration, no darkness, no shadows, no change. We need to receive the light of Christ into our lives. And you know, it is okay to receive the cross in Christianity. Because Christ accepted the cross. And sometimes even today at the academy, the young people try to do some, what was it called, the call and gifted charism workshop. And some of them said, Father, I can't be bothered Sunday evening. I'm not going to do it. It's too much work. Understandable, Sunday night. But this is the thing. If you want to really work on our heart, we have to work hard. And sometimes we don't want. If I never accepted that I had a problem with looking for attention, if I never accepted that I have a tendency of being negative to every idea that is put forward, I can never work. And I can say, oh, I have this problem, but I'm not going to worry about it. The success is that as soon as we accept a weakness, God, give me the grace to work hard and go deeper into it and change my heart. That is why David always said, Lord, give me a broken heart. What is the good thing with a broken heart? To a broken heart, God can go in. The light can go in. And the biggest tragedy in Scripture, if you listen to my word, harden not your heart. That is the biggest tragedy in the Scripture can have. So always God said, if you listen to my voice, harden not your heart. What is the best thing? Broken heart. Of course, being weak is not good. Having all these negative things is not good. We all want to be perfect. But accepting that we have weakness, accepting I have behavioral problems, that breaking our heart because it's painful, there we find Christ on the cross who can come into our weakness, who can bring light into it. I'm finishing this by saying, after going to ministry supervision, am I healed? No. If you ask the brothers, especially the brothers I live with, sometimes the negative things comes out of my mind too. But now I am very aware. It's like now I have a torch. When I walk, I can see the holes. This is a hole. I'm going to be negative. I don't want. I choose not to be negative. Because with the help of Christ, I am going into the pits, the darkness, the brokenness of my heart. And his light helps me to walk so that I may not fall into black holes. So my brothers and sisters, let's be really hardworking for our spiritual life. Sometimes our intentions and motivations of our heart can attack relationship, can intimidate others, manipulate relationships, and bring breakdown in relationship. The more we let Christ's light goes into our heart, the more we become healed, the more we become aware of the black holes and the pitfalls that our words, our behavior, our attitude can bring into others' life. But in this journey, one thing is important. Take up your cross and follow him. Lord, give us a broken heart, a contrite spirit. Amen.